said.
Don't believe what I just saw!
I'm a man! I'm 40!
This is John Sheezer. I'm here.
Eric Marino.
Eric.
No, I gotta tell you about the Clippers. I'm an
addict. Sportsaholics, I gotta.
Let's just hope this shit doesn't go viral.
Okay.
Welcome back to Sportsaholics episode number 107. Guys, I'm sad breaking news as I'm recording this. A-Rod is no longer with us. He's retiring in like a week or some sort of weird in-between retirement.
Last night I wrote a few things down.
Anyway, let's listen to A-Rod here.
I don't want to forget anyone.
No, don't forget anyone, A-Rod. Don't forget to throw...
This is a tough day.
First of all, if you're a friend of A-Rod's right now, you're like, don't mention me in your speech. You know, we had that non-disclosure agreement where we were going to be friends. You couldn't tell anyone that we were friends. And now A-Rod is breaking that a lot of those agreements, I'm sure. All right,
I love this game, and I love this team. And today, I'm saying goodbye to both.
Officially.
This is also a proud day.
Officially saying goodbye. He said goodbye on the field about 3 years ago, really about 5 years ago. 2009, if you remember, is when he won the championship with the Yankees. Three-time AL MVP. The guy put up some stats, but again, under a very suspicious clout. Look, if the hot tub's yellow and there's one guy in the hot tub, then that's who peed in the hot tub, you know? It's kind of, you know, that's the way I look at Alex Rodriguez's career and steroids. But anyway, back to this tearjerker of a press conference A-Rod dropped on us.
I was 18 when I broke into the big leagues.
Okay, what are you, Bruce Springsteen? Are you going to go into some sort of Glory Days rendition right here? All right, back to it. Sorry. I don't like A-Rod that much. I don't know if you picked that up. Look at this. He's not talking. He's trying to pretend like he's crying. Like he hasn't murdered someone before and had someone hide the body. You're creepy.
I never thought.
Okay. That was.
I can play for 22 years.
Yush. What is that?
At 18, I just wanted to make the team.
Okay, more. More awkward silence. Not crying, but really wishing he could cry. But since he doesn't have a soul, he's having a hard time mustering up tears. I think he feels like the longer he can create silence, the more emotion he can add to this.
I want to thank the Steinbrenner family.
Okay.
For giving me this opportunity. And for making me part of this team. And for giving me an opportunity to stay involved by mentoring the next generation of Yankees.
You weren't mentoring. You were just, they were stuck with your horrible contract that they ate whenever you came over from the Rangers. That's what was happening. You weren't mentoring anyone. If anything, it was one of those, hey, here's Uncle Alex. Do the opposite that he did.
I'm grateful to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For the faith you're showing in me today.
That doesn't even make
no
sense.
No athlete ever ends his career or her career the way you want to. We all want to keep playing forever. But it doesn't work that way.
Okay, so let me add this in. He's reading this, okay? This isn't from the heart. His lawyer wrote this up. And that's why he's throwing in these pauses, is to make it seem more dramatic. But what he doesn't realize is that nobody cares about that he's retiring. No one's cared about Alex Rodriguez in, I don't know, what, 4 or 5 years? Yankees fan, you don't care about Alex Rodriguez. This is a great day for you. You got a great farm system full of prospects. A-Rod's walking away. I guess next Friday, it's some weird sort of half retirement, like he's retiring at the end of this week or something. Anyway, back to the tearjerker.
Accepting the end gracefully is part of being a professional athlete. Saying goodbye may be the hardest part of the job, but that's what I'm doing today. I want to thank Mom, who's watching at home, and my daughters.
Hold on. Has A-Rod always had this weird whistle lisp thing? Has this gone undetected in over 22 years of baseball? Because I've never... Here, hold on. Let me pull this back up here. Listen to this lisp, this little...
I want
to
thank Mom, who's watching at home, and my daughters.
What is... Maybe he just got punched in the face last night and he has a broken tooth or something. I think that's probably the case. He's walking down the street and someone said, "Hey, you're A-Rod, right?" And he said, "Yeah." "You want to be a friend?" And he said, "No, you're horrible." And then just punched
him. Thank you for your support. Okay. You've been through so much with me.
Page two.
I want to thank my family, my friends, former managers, coaches, teammates, my teammates who are in the back today. I'm going to thank Commissioner Manfred for your support. And I especially want to thank the fans for letting me play the game that I love.
That was it. It was two pieces, maybe three pieces of paper from what I can tell. I mean, definitely, maybe two. All right, so there you have it. A-Rod is retiring in 4 or 5 days or something like that. There was a lot of controversy that followed that guy throughout his career, you know, whether it was the $250 million contract, the first one to get that. And I know that was a big deal, but at the time, you got to remember, Texas hadn't been to the playoffs in years. They were starved for any sort, just anybody other than Pudge Rodriguez or Juan Gonzalez or Nolan Ryan. You know, it was one of those franchises that hadn't done really anything, so it was a big land for them in the, as far as free agency goes, but didn't ever win in Texas. And look, Texas had this weird thing for years where they would have the best offense and then the worst pitching, and then they would get good pitching and have no offense. They never had just average. It was either all or nothing with Texas. But anyway, A-Rod's gone. I'm excited. I am right now. I'm going to try to hit up our my good man Eric Marino on the phone. I'm not guaranteeing he's going to answer. We'll see. He's been running around like a madman the past couple of days, but I know he's going to be happy to see if we can get Eric here. And if not, I had a great week. I toured all over, saw a couple of ballparks, went up to the Bay Area, Stockton. Survived that run. Incredibly nice fans, though, the Giants. I will give you
that. Hey, I'm somewhere in America. If you leave me a message.
There you go. So anyway, last week had the absolute, it was a pleasure, really. Was up in San Francisco and took a tour of Giants Stadium. And I was the lone Kansas City Royals fan. And I they were nice. I did take a picture. They have all three of the 10, the 12, and the 14. Trophies, and I know they're waiting for the 16. It's the odd year. Everyone loves that. But anyway, I had asked the tour guide if she could take my picture in front of all three of the trophies. And I, of course, did the thumbs down over the 14 trophy, which, you know, everyone, she was like, "Oh, hey, don't do that. I want to take that picture," kind of jokingly. And it's like, yeah, but it's your trophy. So I feel like you got the upper hand in this one. I'm standing in your house with your trophy on. You know, on display here. But the tour was nice, and in traditional Giants fashion, expensive. Everything's expensive when you're dealing with the Giants. I know spring training tickets, what would those run? Spring training. I know that at the Rangers, Royals Park, in Surprise, they were, I believe, $8. $8 a piece. you're in Scottsdale going to a Giants, no, that's $40 for the spring training. So I don't know what the average tour park cost, you know, what it costs to tour, you know, Petco or Dodger Stadium, but I'll tell you, it was $22 to get around AT&T. But I would say worth it. There was a lot of really cool stuff. You learned about Dave Dravecki, who was the Giants pitcher. I'm not sure that the year, I'm in, you know, over 30 years ago, but he had recovered from cancer and come back too early. His arm shatters while he's pitching, ended up having to amputate the arm. So they, you know, they have his jersey on display, you know, the one that they had cut off. And then they had stills from the footage from that night of him kind of falling off the mound. But just a lot of cool stuff. They had, you know, every giveaway in a big booth. So they like, you know, a bunch of bobbleheads, a bunch of baseballs, all sorts of stuff like that. Let me see if I can pull up some of the audio from the
Yes.
Here we go.
Who knows that? Monty Irvin. Yeah. He would have been. He just died a few months ago. He was 96 or something.
Great.
But he would have been the first Afro-American to play. And they asked him first before Jackie Robinson, and he declined because he was too scared, because it was scary. Have you seen that movie, 40?
See, Monty Irvin. There was a great. Let me see if I can dig up the other one. And this is all like in their kind of VIP loungy kind of area, where you know, unless you have $100,000 invested in the club every year, you don't get to go into that area. Included in was that a huge stack of game used bases from over the past 20 years or so, I would say. Let me see if I can find, let me see this one here.
And he came back and they said, it's a miracle he's going to be able to play.
Dave Dravecki right here.
He came back and pitched one game and it was fine. And then the next game he pitched, you can see the sequence here. Well, he wound up the throw and his arm literally snapped off. Yep. And people, I've talked to people that were there, they said you could hear it. Yep. So they had to cut his uniform off. But he has, I've had so many people that come, like in a group that you're in today, and they'll say, oh, he spoke at my school, or he came to my church, and he's written these really...
So there's a good, you know, kind of, and that's from, I forget the lady's name, but she was a really good, you know, she knew a lot of good stuff, and I bit my tongue a few times and try not to, like, be the dick that's like, yeah, well, this happened actually too, and then blah blah blah. I think I got one more. Let me see if I can find that one. I believe. Let me see if this is it.
Right. All the football teams, baseball, you've got 25 guys. Football, you've got a lot more than that. And like I said, it was built in a wind tunnel, so everybody was always freezing. I've had people on my tours that have.
So this is, she's talking about AT&T Park and the difference between Candlestick and AT&T Park.
Medals of honor that they gave out if you stay for extra inning games. That's freezing. And actually, the way the field is set up right now, they wanted to do it the other way, you know, and have home plate be, you know, totally switched around. And they had an aeronautical engineer guy that came and did all these studies, and he said it'll be just as cold as Candlestick if you do that. So anyways, that's why ours isn't like that. It still gets cold here at night. If you're in a night game here, it gets cold. But anyway, so the Giants said, okay, let's put it up to the voters of San Francisco and use tax dollars to build a stadium, which most stadiums do. They have tax dollars because it's revenue, it's money for the economy, it's bringing.
So that's some nice insight that I didn't know. There's also a bowling alley for former players and a billiards hall. Like, so if you used to play for the Giants and you come back, you can, you know, you can kind of just run around there and, you know, do whatever you want, which is kind of cool. I'm trying to think what else. Went down on the field, not on the grass, but on the field on the side. They had Junior Giants Day, so there were kids romping around everywhere and on the field. And the guy, the host at this point, another one of the executive guys came down and was like, you know, look, I'm sorry. Clearly there are a lot of kids running around on the field right now, but we can't let you on the field. It's just the rules. And I'm like, all right, that's fine. The Giants are one of the last few stadiums that don't have a bullpen outside of the field. So I think it's Wrigley, I want to say Cincinnati for some reason. I'm not sure if that's correct, but definitely AT&T Park, where the pitchers warm up on the first and third base side of the field. And so at that point, they have like this little diamond that sticks out where the catcher's warming up. So I snapped a few quick pictures where I was pretending like I'm batting, you know, on the field, which for me was good enough. But accompanying on the trip was this great couple, Giants fan from Florida, married to a Red Sox fan, and they had, the guy had grown up in Brooklyn and seen the Giants way, way, way back when he was, you know, 6, 7 years old, something like that. So, you know, a lifelong fan, and his wife was telling me this great story about how her dad never saw the Red Sox won. It's kind of emotional too. And she's telling me how they went and put flowers on his grave. And I'm just sitting there like, wow, you know, that's what I do like about the Red Sox fans is that they genuinely care. It's like, it's a life. It's like a life altering thing for them, you know, to finally become a champion to the point where I think how many florists, like millions of dollars were spent on flowers, just to put on graves of people, commemorating the Red Sox, people that have passed away for 30, 40, 50 years in some cases. But so you do kind of feel a sense of that history with the Giants, you know, being the Giants and Dodgers first teams to move out west and, you know, establish that West Coast rivalry. But the stadium's beautiful. The staff is great. Just had a really good time. And then on from there, was in Stockton, California. Now, if you've never heard of Stockton, Modesto, there was the guy a few years ago that killed us. It was like a Nancy Grace. It might have been what put Nancy Grace on the map, but it was murdered his body, threw it overboard, kind of a thing. And that was it. That's Modesto. Stockton now has got the Nate Diaz, the MMA champion, is from Stockton. And I get that, having gone to Stockton. That is a creepy, creepy town, about an hour and a half, 2 hours east of San Francisco, Oakland Bay area. It is you know what? I've never been to a city before where I've seen so many people loitering everywhere. Like every gas station, there's 5 to 10 people standing outside doing nothing, not maybe drinking alcohol or smoking cigarettes or just grown people, like in their 30s, 40s, 50s. Yeah, you know, of all ages, really. So I've never had such a urgency to get in and out of a gas station in my life, is the best way to put it. So I felt lucky that I even survived a night in Stockton. You know, you're never at ease when if you're in that city, I guess is probably be the best way to put that. But, you know, when in a town like Stockton that has a minor league baseball team, in this case, the Stockton Ports, single A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics, Josh Reddick played there. The dude with the beard now that plays for the A's was a recent Doolittle. There's a bunch of Doolittle stuff everywhere. But kind of a historic team. I think it had been there since the 40s. And nice stadium. They had a little river that backed up into the right field. Apparently ESPN top 10 minor league parks to see a seat in a minor league park, and that they had the right field little relaxed recliner kind of swivel chair, full service ribs and barbecue porch kind of thing with the river right behind it, which was cool. There was a recliner, went and sat down in, enjoyed the game, got a foul ball, which technically I did, but there were 600 people there. And it was one of those where it kind of ran. I knew where I was sitting. I was sitting right on the foul, right on the field, right next to the tarp, hoping that I get a ball, just kind of ride the wall, careen inside the tarp there. Sure enough, a couple innings later, ball came swooping in, stops. But there were some kids the section over. And so I ran to the ball immediately, grabbed it on the field, lifted it up, tried to make as big a scene as I could to avoid any, like, hey, give it to the kids. And so I just, like, yes, my first foul ball ever, turned around. Everyone was clapping for me. You know, at that point, if someone's like, give it to the kids, I think they would have felt like a dick, as big of a scene as I was making over this ball, which wasn't called for at all. But either way, got the ball. And the next inning, guess who got those? The little kids got a ball. And theirs wasn't necessarily one that rolled on the field. It was more of a line drive, screeching shot that came right over the dugout. And this kid, I mean, he went for it and he got the ball, but it just hit the palm of his hand, that the meat part. And immediately, you know, he's at first he's toughening, he's like, you know, I'm good. And then his mom does the worst parenting I've ever seen. Award goes to this kid's mom, grabs his hand, starts shaking it, and says, no, you're fine. The kid starts bawling. At that point, the medical staff come down to check on it. And I, you know, I never found out. I'm assuming broken hand, but you never know. Anytime a ball's coming in at 110, and I was disappointed in dad. Even if it wasn't the kid's dad, there was a grown adult older than me sitting right there in the same row. Didn't even budge. He was just like, let the kids get it. Kind of an attitude towards him. So it's a little, I'm like, maybe dad steps up and takes that shot. But, you know, the kid learns his lesson. Bring your glove. Bring your glove to the game, kid, and your hand's fine. And you probably catch the ball, and it's exciting for everybody. I was reminded, guys, when you're going to minor league games, don't park next to the stadium because the foul balls just go right into your cars. And mine wasn't hit, but it was close. There were a couple that really could have gotten my car real easily, and it was a rental, and I didn't get the insurance. No one gets the insurance, so I would have been on the hook for a lot of money right there just to see a minor league game. And so that's just a reminder. Don't park, walk 50 yards into the stadium if you can, and it'll save you possibly thousands of dollars because I know you didn't get the insurance on the rental car. But Stockton Ports, thank you. Had a good time. It was kind of weird. We got to the game late, like in the third inning, and there's line, just massive line. And I was very confused because I'm like, wow, they really like their minor league baseball here in Stockton. There's not a lot going on. Well, come to find out, the Civic Center is right next to the stadium, and Kevin Hart is there. So there's 10,000 people just standing around everywhere waiting to get into this Kevin Hart show. And like, people are buying tickets to the minor league game just to go to the bathroom and then bitching about it. And yeah, you know, it was. Imagine me at first driving up, like, wow, they really like baseball here. This is kind of cool. Nope. They really like Kevin Hart. That was that's really what was going on. Which, by the way, guys, I hope you watched the roast battle. It was it was great. Kevin Hart was one of the hosts one of the night. I'm gonna actually try to pull up. Pull up some of this footage live from Montreal. They did 4 episodes, which you can see on Comedy Central right now, streaming. But I'm going to try to pull up some of the videos here. This is the final right here. This is the Sarah Tiana, Mike Lawrence. Sarah's great. Been on the show years ago. Mike, I don't know, but I do know now. He's funny as hell. So this is actually one of the finals. And of course,
yo, that video is going to play. Psych 101.
Nothing against the guy from Workaholics. The guy that just acts like he's retarded all the time. God, Adam Devine, that's his name. Doesn't act like he's, but anyway, that's just act like he sniffs glue sometimes. But anyway, this is the final Sarah Tiana, Mike Lawrence.
And I think we all know why he doesn't work there anymore. They took away all the incentives. I mean, they tore down all the playgrounds.
Really lucky that both your opponents look like pedophiles. you know, people are asking me tonight if I'm going to put Sarah in her place. She's a 38-year-old woman in comedy. There isn't one.
It's amazing. It's funny. Mike hates sports, obviously. for someone who doesn't like sports, you sure do look a lot like a 49er. Well, it's Canada. God damn it.
He's got the huge beard.
I'm sure someone will after. Sarah's vagina is like a bar. It's dank, full of drunk dicks, and children are immediately forced to leave.
So again, go to Comedy Central, check it out. They got on YouTube, Comedy Central page, but there's 4 nights, so really there's like 4 hours of that stuff, and it's great. So just check it out and look it up. But all right, we're gonna go to break. When we get back, we'll just wrap up some of the other trip things from the trip, what I've got going on, including a trip back to Kansas City, which I'm excited about. Might go see a Royals game, might not, but anyway, we'll be back. All right, we We are back, and look, I know earlier I said Eric was going to be gone, but this is a special occasion. Eric has now joined us on episode number 107, and Eric, you didn't catch it earlier, but I started this week's episode with A-Rod's press conference and just how pathetic and sad it was and how happy I was that we no longer have A-Rod in our baseball lives. Starting on Friday.
Go ahead.
But all the A-Rod retirement news aside, this is breaking news, Sportsaholics listeners. Eric Marino is headed to Rio for the Olympics. How do you feel?
I'm going to the Olympics, everybody. Everybody, I'm going to the Olympics. I was trying, just so you know, Caesar, I was trying to avoid, I had made the decision to consciously not watch a second of Olympic coverage. For some reason, I said, everything that's happening in Rio, the money, the pollution, the Zika, I'm like, maybe it's time for the Olympics to just be done. You know, like maybe we're just, you know, especially with stuff like the World Cup in Qatar, you know, Qatar or whatever. It's kind of you seeing all this, like, and the World Cup that happened in Brazil and all the unused stadiums. I was like, maybe it's time for us to sort of put these Olympics away. But our good friend of the show, who's been on the show several times for Saturday Night Live and Ghostbusters, Leslie Jones, she's been live tweeting, and it became kind of a sensation on the internet. And so NBC invited her to come, and I'm going to go along and be right alongside her. And I'm going to go backstage past the Olympics. I've never been to an Olympics. It's going to be, I think, really something else. I mean, I'm getting excited. I leave Wednesday. I'm gone for about a week. I've never been to Brazil or South America before. Obviously, lots of people are telling me to be careful about getting raped, kidnapped, Zika. I might get kidnapped by Zika.
Yes.
You know, obviously, I mean, I may accidentally fall for a male, female, transsexual prostitute, or fall for, in air quotes, you know, wink, wink. Who knows what's going to happen? You know, I will try. And Caesar, you know what? I finally figured out how to email recordings I make on my phone, so we might be able to get. I might be able to get some little weird sideline interviews from the Olympics or Sports Hall.
Oh, I would love any sort of video footage you want. Look, I'll put it up absolutely, without a doubt. In fact, earlier in our first segment, I ran some of the audio clips from my tour of Giant Stadium. So, yeah, I will happily do that. And plus, the food down there is amazing. I've heard.
Oh, they have food in Rio?
Well, you know, Brazilian steak, man. You're gonna come back. If you don't weigh 10 pounds more than you do right now when you get back from the Olympics, I'm going to be disappointed in you.
I see what you're saying. All right.
Yeah, well, just
I'll make sure I'm going to have to bring some skinny jeans and some not-so-skinny jeans.
Yeah, sweatpants, definitely. Now, do you feel an obligation to, I don't know, USA yourself out? I mean, are you going down in nothing but Patriots gear? I mean, really, that's what's one of the perks of being a Patriots fan is you can just wear Patriots jerseys and everyone, I mean, there's no better American.
Well, I hadn't thought of that. That is a great idea. Sadly, I recently, and some of you know, I have this Captain America hoodie that I wear that has, it's like an actual hood with a mask. I lost that in Vegas. Well, Leslie and I were in Vegas last week, and I lost it somewhere in the Las Vegas airport. I lost an entire bag. So if anyone finds a roller bag with Reebok pumps and a Captain America hoodie and a smiley face lapel pin on a black suit jacket, let them know that belongs to this 44-year-old white male who clearly has some sort of retarded issues. You know what I mean?
Wow. I mean, you could have found that bag and someone could have argued that it could actually belong to Clark Kent. I mean, you had a blazer in there, a hoodie, some Reeboks. Yeah. I mean, that's a...
Yeah.
And by the way, kudos
on
traveling.
I'm afraid someone's just going to start doing my act.
I mean, kudos on traveling light, too. That suitcase you just described says, hey, I'm going to be in your city for 36 hours. It was nice to know you.
Not even. I was there for 24 hours, I think, and... or maybe even less, because I had to go back. I was going back to Montreal to work on Comedy Central's roast battle.
Now let's rewind. In the earlier segment, when going into break, I played I played two jokes from the finals of Mike Lawrence and Sarah Tiana. Listeners, Eric was actually at the roast battle. I was hyping it up. Can you give the listeners like a behind the scenes description, kind of what was going on, what went down? And
well, I think it was a really amazing event. You know, it's been, as some of you guys, some of you listeners know, the Roast Battle started in the Comedy Store belly room about 3 years ago. And it's slowly built, and Jeff Ross got involved, and we took it to the La Jolla Comedy Store, then we took it to the New York Comedy Festival, we did an L.A. Riot Fest, then we did South by Southwest. Last year, we went to Montreal with a thing, which was basically Roast Battle, but it was called the Roast Masters Invitational. That's when we first did it as a tournament style, like a bracket, with 16 comics. We did that again this year. Jimmy Carr from England was our defending champion. He got taken down by Earl Skakel.
This was great for Earl. Earl Skakel, follow him on Twitter, listeners. Google him.
Yeah.
The man is just, I mean, there's, you hear this term comic. I mean, he's so good. People can't even emulate and copy his style because it's so original and it's so strong. His jokes are so good. And this was the first time on a national, unless you're a huge fan of the movie Benchwarmers with Rob Schneider, you've never seen Earl before. And
well, it's funny to me, I've known Earl, and guys, by the way, you should also listen to his podcast, Inappropriate Earl, where he does a lot of stuff about the battle and various things and interesting stuff. So Inappropriate Earl, you can listen to that. But I've known Earl since 2000 when I got serious at the Comedy Store. Earl and I kind of came around at the same time. When I first met Earl, he was wearing heart-shaped sunglasses, no shirt, leather pants, and a feather boa, very Jesse the Body Ventura. And it was really sort of funny in a way that 16, 17 years later, in some ways, it's like he came back to that, like this wrestling persona exactly that then became so much a part of his success at Roast Battle. And he also, he's what's called the house hater on the shows.
There's actually a great
part of the belly room show.
There's a great video that I shot 5 or 6 years ago when I was a door guy. This was before everyone had a camera on their phone. And I would bring in this digital camera. And from time to time, I would record the Barris Kennedy Overdrive, which Earl Skakel, who was a descendant of the Kennedy, he's part of the Kennedy family, was part of this air band every night. And it was hilarious. And there was one night in particular that Sergeant Slaughter and rest in peace, Rowdy Piper, were in the back room, and Earl does this great Ric Flair voiceover. It's like a 2-minute Ric Flair clip that he had memorized perfectly.
Yeah.
So they play the clip. Yeah. I'm shooting the video. Sergeant Slaughter, Rowdy Piper are going nuts, and it's up on YouTube. If you Google Earl Skakel, Rowdy Piper, Comedy Store, Sergeant Slaughter, it'll pop up, and I think it's got like 5,000 or 6,000 views. I know that when Piper passed away, TMZ actually used one of my videos on their website.
It's a terrible reason, but nice that they used videos.
Point being, if TMZ can find it, you guys can find it. Look it up. It's worth it. Earl's great, and he made it to the quarterfinals. And so, I mean, as a relatively unknown, you know, that's wonderful.
Absolutely, it was an amazing week up in Montreal. It was just you know, in some ways, that's you know, they sort of build it as Comedy Central's first sporting event. You know, it's a sport for comics. It's jousting. It's verbal boxing. It's verbal jousting. It's like many people roast. There's a big roast coming for Comedy Central at the end of this month in August. David Spade and Jeff Ross will be roasting Rob Lowe, and they're, in fact, those guys are starting to work on that show right now. But there's a big difference between going up and being a roaster and doing like, hey, I'm going to do 6 to 10 minutes of roast jokes and tag everybody at the dais. And then you sit down, and then people come and they tag you, and they hit you, and they insult other people. And you know, there's an art to the roast joke, where you're sort of insulting and complimenting at the same time, and it's done out of, hopefully it's done out of love. The roast battle jokes is, you know, can be a little bit in your face, you know, and losing sucks. I have lost; it is terrible. You know, I think if you watch lose to Mike Lawrence,
it's bad. I mean, the look on his face—it's a level playing field, and credits don't matter. It's what you know, and by that I mean, it doesn't matter if you're a celebrity. Ren Azizi—that's the most uncomfortable I've ever seen him ever. on TV in person.
Yeah.
And rightfully so. I mean, it was a beatdown. But Comedy Central has all the episodes online, so not only watch them, but when you watch them and you die laughing, share it. You know, let people know, because we want this to come back. I mean, Moses is a close friend of both Eric and I's, and a funny comedian, great guy, and you know, so this is something new and it's something different in comedy, and it's really hot right now, and it's popular and it's funny, and it's just something that I'm assuming will be back just because it was so good. So listener, just get on the wagon now and just be the person that tells the person about it. Don't be the person that gets told about it, you know? Just be on the floor.
Yeah, I think also I think you'll find them very rewatchable. There are a couple things that happen in the first two episodes. There's a couple people that get mentioned that haven't made an appearance in the show yet. If you follow me along.
Yep.
Stephen Avivi, who lied about being in Tower 2 during 9/11, he has not made an appearance.
Former
on
guest,
screen,
episode number
name,
15.
His name gets mentioned. And then I believe Earl Skakel was night one, and his sometimes younger girlfriend, Olivia Grace, was night two. And that, like, it gets referenced. But there's also a point, like, if you go back and rewatch it, you'll get more. It's very rewatchable, I think, because there are some nice subtle. Subplots, almost, you know, and I feel that it's very, very exciting. Very exciting, you know, so we sort of pulled off Comedy Central's first sport, and now going to the Olympics with Leslie Jones, because her live tweeting the Olympics has become such a thing that NBC said, we want you down there, and, you know, so now I'm worried about Zika and getting robbed and kidnapped.
Well, does your phone? Do you have international phone coverage?
We're gonna do that. I'm gonna. That's, you know. There's a lot. There's a lot to do before I actually get on a plane. You know, it's like one of the things I lost in the Vegas airport: a bathing suit. So, you know, since I don't think I'll be getting that green Borat suit down in Rio, I'm gonna have to go get some sort of swim trunks that an ugly American can wear.
Well, if you got, like, by all means, you need to hop on our Twitter, finally, if you're going to do it internationally. And if not, fucking borrow Leslie's phone and tweet at us or something.
Yeah, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, I mean, who else has got international coverage? What podcast?
We're going to get it. Don't worry about it. We'll be all up.
Oh, this is great. This is great. And so, now, are you ever going to be just spending more than 3 or 4 days at a time now in Los Angeles from here on out? It seems like the past 2 months of your life have just been a whirlwind of shows and travel and traveling to different countries and pretty much everywhere.
You know, it was a crazy, I can tell you this, like last night there was a point where I knew that I wasn't going to be in LA next weekend, but I didn't know whether I was going to be with my family in Maine or in Rio de Janeiro at the Olympics with Leslie Jones. And that was a weird moment. Now, obviously, I'm hoping to move to New York sometime in the fall to work with Leslie on that show that she's on Saturday night.
That would be nice.
So we're hoping to hear about that in the next, in the middle of the month or so.
Right.
In the next couple weeks or so, we hope to hear about that.
Best of luck with
and
that.
And then I'll be bi-coastal. I'll keep the crazy apartment on Sunset that I have. And then I'll, I'll get something, sublet or lease, whatever, in New York. And we'll start figuring it out.
Yeah,
you know?
What a great dilemma. And from what I understand, living on both coasts is heaven, because you pick your seasons. Now, in this case, obviously, you'll be employed during the winter months, but there's something to be said about that vacation summer home on Sunset Boulevard, you know.
That'll be truly great.
To look forward to.
You know, there's also just a point where it's nice to suddenly have these kind of problems. You know, the problems were... I was working on one show. At the beginning of last week, I was working on one TV show. Then I had to leave there to go to Montreal to work on the roast battle. And then I had to leave Montreal to go to Vegas to open for Leslie Jones. And then fly back to Montreal for the live finale on Sunday night in Montreal. And probably the only thing cooler than going to Montreal and being part of this cool event was being able to tell people, yeah, I'm going to be gone for episode 3. I got to be in Vegas opening up for Leslie Jones at Ghostbuster, and then I'll be back. And people are like, what?
Yeah.
Like,
you know,
you're going to go?
You know that number one movie?
And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, the number one movie. Yeah, yeah. I got to go open up for her. Because the thing is, listeners, Montreal is the bee's knees of comedy. It is the place to not only be, but be seen and to meet and shake the hands of people that make careers and start careers and end careers. And so for you to say, bye, I got a better place to be. I mean, that to have something better to do than be at Montreal is not a lot of people can say that unless they're filming a movie or something like that. So yeah, that's again a good problem to have. So did you catch? Let's talk A-Rod real quick because I did open the show with it. I'm happy he's gone. I don't know if you caught his retirement speech, but it was sad.
I read a bit of it. I was actually very surprised because I'll say this. I mean, you know, remember just a few weeks ago? I mean, literally just a few weeks ago. It was just about everybody getting ready for him to hit the 700 plateau. Like, it was sort of a given that he would get there. Except, evidently, the Yankees don't want to give him that. And I think in some ways, baseball doesn't want to give him that. And I find that really sort of fascinating.
It is kind of, I mean, I don't think he deserves it. I mean, he, especially in a Yankees uniform. Now, if they were talking about, you know, if the Devil Rays want to sign him, because he can't go play in the National League unless he wants to play first base, which he's never played before. You know, so you go over to the American League, and right away, I mean, he's batting 200.
He's 41. He's 41. Yeah. All his numbers are way down. I mean, I was actually surprised that his numbers were way down because, you know, you just, you know, it's like, you know, I haven't been trying to, I don't try to follow A-Rod that closely anymore. And, you know, but you just get little flashes like, oh, he's hot. Like, he seemed to be hot sometime in April or May. And you just sort of leave it alone or let, you know, all the other storylines with what's going on with baseball happen. And so it was, I'm a little, you know, it's really a shock that it was like, hey, it's, you know, it's the second week of August and you're all done.
And not only that, but it's a weird thing. Like, I'm not done now. He said he's retiring Friday. So we have four more days of A-Rod and then he's done, at least in a Yankees uniform. I guess someone else could pick him up and try to sign him. But he's not bringing that Raul Ibanez leadership in the dugout. No one's got respect. You know what?
Well, I mean, there's a point of with Peyton Manning, Kobe, and A-Rod all gone within 8 months, it's a big question for Marino. Who am I going to hate now?
It's tough.
I mean, a hater's going to hate. A hater's going to hate. Who am I going to hate? I just don't know.
Well, you can't hate the Royals because we just took 2 out of 3 against the Blue Jays, so that helped your Red Sox cause a little bit over the weekend. I mean, you guys are looking good. I mean, you somehow, even with – do you remember Pablo Sandoval? Do you remember that guy?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, that was – I mean, that's got to go down as one of the worst signings in baseball history when it's all said and done. But overcame that, I mean, you've got – you got some pitching from the Dodgers and the Pomegranates and, you know, young arm. But I think when you put on a Red Sox uniform, you know, that it ups the level of intensity of play a little bit in an average player. Way more on the line. But you guys are looking good.
Like,
I mean,
we'd like to see that with David Price.
Yeah, that's a weird one. And that's, I don't know. It seems like, I mean, his playoff record is 0-8. And, you know, he gave away that game against the Royals last year in the ALCS. Actually, I'm sorry, he didn't give it away. My buddy Josh Heideman yelled, I got it. And the Blue Jay dropped the ball, and then from there, then the Royals rallied and ended up winning. So it wasn't really David Price's fault. Point being, though, he hasn't won in the playoffs yet. And I'm beginning to think that maybe something between his ears doesn't let him perform well on the big stage. I mean, he shined and flourished in Tampa Bay. In Detroit, he was average. I mean, he had some good seasons, but it's Detroit. It's not that big of a stage. And now he's in Boston and just, you know, he's average. I mean, you hope he can get it together in a playoff series and get you, you know, 2 wins, ideally in the World Series. But, you know, that's a long ways off. But it's a tough division. You got Baltimore's right there. You know, I mean,
hopefully, you know, it's like, I'm hoping come October the Red Sox are in the playoffs and Tom Brady's, you know, is back in shape for the 3-1 Patriots or the 4-0 Patriots.
Yeah, which
hopefully will... not the 0-4 or 1-2 or
no,
3-1-3.
Yeah, I don't see it. I don't see it. Well, okay. As far as Brazil for your trip, apparently I haven't seen it firsthand, but apparently the women rugby players are something to behold. So,
sure.
You know, if you get a chance, maybe mosey on down there. But yeah, man, enjoy yourself. And I'm trying to think if there's anything. Just be safe. I mean, I can't emphasize that enough. I'm not going to say don't do anything.
I'm getting a lot of that. I will try to be safe, and I will try not to be the. I'll try not to be the ugly American that gets. I don't know, that loses a kidney, wakes up in a bed full of ice. A bathtub full of ice with a kidney missing, or get some sort of bamboozled, hustled, lose information or whatever. But, it's an adventure. It's a big adventure, and I'm really happy to be going. Yep. It's like a 14-hour flight down there, and that's going to be crazy.
I was going to say, don't drink too much. Have a good time, but don't get
right.
Don't slip into the blackout mode. Also, I was going to say, for the most part, you're good about, if the door's not open, you don't go through it. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to be snooping down some dark alleys or sober.
Right.
Now, if you've had too much to drink, that's a whole, now you start, getting curious. Hey, what's that red light down there? That looks like a good time.
I'm gonna probably stick to the shallows, stay with the pack, go where everyone else is going. Sometimes that's not the funnest thing, sort of like, to do it's sort of a Club Med experience, if you will, where you're just at the resort.
But that's good.
We'll see what we see. I mean, I certainly don't speak any other languages, so I'm really terrible at that.
Well,
we shall see.
If all else fails, do what you're supposed to do in traveling internationally. If you want to have a good time, just find the Australians. And then apparently that's...
Oh, that's a good one.
That's the key to success from what I heard. Just wherever you are, if you find Australians, you're going to have a good time. So keep that in mind.
Great advice. Okay, Sportsaholics.
That's
it. I gotta get going.
Yeah.
And
we're gonna wrap this up.
But Sportsaholics fans, you're gonna be seeing a lot more, hearing a lot more as we report live on tape from Rio.
That's right. I can't wait to hear it. All right, guys. That's it for episode number 107.
My theme song now. I am officially an Olympian.
Hey, man, have fun. Say hi to Leslie for me, and we'll record when you get back. But in the meantime, send as much stuff as you want. I don't care if it's you sleeping in an airport in Dallas, Texas,
right,
or whatever it is.
Right.
And yeah, if you can interview other people from other countries too, that would be fantastic.
Great.
That would be wonderful. All right, man. We'll talk soon. Travel safe. And, we'll see you when you get back into America.
Stay obsessed, everybody.